Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. And I wanted to explore Byron Katie's The Work. Now, I first came across The Work in the first book that I think Byron Katie published, which was called Loving What Is. And it immediately grabbed me because, A, it fit my idea of, oh good, more work to do, because I assumed that I needed to do lots of work in order to be happy and okay. But also because it impacted me. And essentially, if you've never done the work, Katie, everyone calls her Katie, Katie shares four questions. And the questions essentially are, is it true? Can you really know that it's true? How do you react when you tell yourself that, believe that, think that thought? And who would you be without that thought? And essentially, the idea is whenever you have a troubling thought, a limiting thought, a difficult thought, a belief about the world that you think works for you, but you kind of suspect might not, you do the work on it. And in terms of the impact that it can have, it can be very powerful because what you start to see is that no thought is true and that everything that you think is, in fact, up for grabs. And what starts to happen is you get a deeper sense of yourself beyond belief, before your thinking. Now, the downside, in my experience, of doing the work very religiously is maybe a harsh word, but very disciplinedly for more than a year, is that what happened to me, and I notice it happened to a lot of other people, is there was a never-ending number of thoughts to do the work on. So instead of my brain generalizing and going, oh, all thought is made up, and no matter how real it seems, it isn't, and there's a deeper spiritual level to who I am beyond thought, I just kept finding more things to work on. And it sort of always put me in mind of the Buddha's dictum that, Well, okay, that's a terrible way to set it up, apparently, because I can't remember it as a dictum. But there's essentially, he would talk about how if a boat got you across a river, once you cross the river, you don't need to keep carrying the boat. And so in that sense, for those people who the work opened them up to a deeper truth about the nature of the mind, the nature of thought, and the nature of who we are, very powerful, thank you very much, going to leave it at the riverbank. And for others, it becomes a way of life. So this isn't really a critique of that. I mean, I'm doing my best. I'm sure you're doing your best. But I did want to just share what happened when I over the last couple of weeks, it just occurred to me to look at the work through the eyes of my understanding of the principles. And what was interesting is it became, in a way, even more powerful. So the first one that came up for me, the first, oh, here's a limiting thought. Other people's unhappiness makes me unhappy. And I'd noticed that, boy, I really, you know, I just want everybody to be happy. And, you know, when they're not, you know, I'd be happy if they were happy. And I kind of knew, well, that can't be true. So I decided to look at the work. And of course, the first question, is it true? Well, I heard that question differently than I used to hear it. I heard, is it true, in the sense of, is it truth? Is it something that is universally true? Or is it idiosyncratic? Is it something that I think is true most of the time, or even some of the time? And clearly, it's not truth that other people's unhappiness makes us unhappy. To me, that was sort of like, well, no, that's not truth. I mean, that may be my experience, the truth of my experience, but it's not cosmic truth. It's not universal truth. And so the second question, can I really know that it's truth, didn't even come into it, because I really could know that it wasn't. So then, instead of how do I react when I tell myself that, how do I react when I think that thought, it occurred to me that the question that now makes sense to me is, well, how do I react when I don't see that as thought? when I see that as truth. Because if I see it as thought, I don't give it too much weight. It's like, yeah, I think that. And then, you know, and I think a lot of things, and most of them are pretty stupid, and occasionally one comes through that's pretty helpful. But when I don't see it as thought, when I see it as an actual description of a real universe that exists outside of my thinking, well, I suffer. I feel the need to control everyone around me and to control their moods. And I don't see that it doesn't work that way. I don't see that I'm fine regardless of what other people happen to be feeling in the moment, and that in fact, they're fine regardless of what they happen to be feeling in the moment. And then the fourth question, who would I be without this thought? Well, I don't have to be without this thought if I see it as thought taking form in the moment. So who would I be if I saw this as thought? Who am I when I recognize it as thought and not truth? Well, there aren't really great words for it, but I'm certainly bigger than whoever it was I was identifying myself with that could be bullied by other people's emotions and feelings. So it was interesting. Now, there's another part of the work. I met Katie a couple of times. We were on a panel together for Hay House, and I thought she was an amazingly just vibrant, alive, cool person. And one of the other things that she teaches as part of the work is what she calls the turnaround, where you flip it and you go, well, you know, is the opposite of this equally true? So with other people's unhappiness makes me unhappy, it would be, my unhappiness makes other people unhappy. I'm sure I can see how they could think that. Or other people's unhappiness makes me happy. Well, yeah, that's sometimes true. Horrible to admit, but sometimes true. My happiness makes other people unhappy. Yeah, that's happened too. So you start to see at a larger level, it's not in my mind that we need to break down our thinking and we need to notice what we're thinking. We need to write it down. We need to do the work on it. But just those kind of simple questions are kind of helpful when we see something that we don't think is thought. Is it truth or is it thought? Is it universal, pre-existing, or does it exist when I think it? How do I react when it looks like thought? You know, Sid Banks said, everyone is doing the best they can given the thinking they have that looks real to them. How do I react when this looks real to me and not like thought? And who would I be not without the thought, because I don't control what thoughts come and go in my mind, but who would I be if I saw this as thought? So, something fun for you to play with. Would love to hear your comments and feedback. You can use the Inside Out community on Facebook as a great place to share your responses. And until next time, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll speak to you soon.